Liberty Fellowship, good to see you. What a good crowd this morning. Man, they must have heard you preaching, brother. Tell you what. 151 in your book, if you'll turn there. Stand and we'll sing together this morning. Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Seed all earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. And sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Beautiful. You may be seated. Come on up, choir.
All the way. should tell my story. Jesus keeps me happy, for He knows how.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to be out to God's house this morning, and good to see this number out. I'm Pastor Dan Foster, and welcome to Liberty Fellowship Church. No, I'm just kidding. Our Pastor Dan is down in Nashville preaching at one of his good buddies' church, so you all are stuck with me again this Sunday. I do apologize for that. If you were here last Sunday night, God laid a message on my heart called Turn Up the Heat. Well, if you were here Wednesday night, God turned up the heat. The air conditioning was out. It was hot in here. It reminded me of my grandfather telling me stories of back in the day, back when churches didn't have air conditioning and things like that, and it's 90 degrees outside, and you had the windows open, and everybody was fanning and all that stuff. That's what Wednesday night reminded me of. But then I got to thinking, and God began to use that to minister to me. Sometimes we get too comfortable with where we're at, and sometimes God needs to make us a little bit uncomfortable so that we can grow in His grace and knowledge. So, but I'm not going to lie, I'm glad it's not 87 degrees in here this morning, okay? If you got your Bibles, I'll go ahead and tell you where we're going to read from, then we'll take up offering, then we'll do special singing. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 3 this morning. If you brought your Bibles, Acts chapter 3. And I've got a bulletin somewhere. I've misplaced it. I've got it. Here it is. All right. So there's a couple things in here I want to announce. Next month, starting the month of September, we're going to celebrate that whole month here at Liberty Fellowship Church as Back to Church Month, and that's going to be starting next Sunday, September the 3rd, and that whole month, we're going to be dedicating that whole month to inviting people to church, getting people in church, and the services are going to go along with families getting involved in church and things like that, so let's be very much in prayer for that and invite. And I told y'all last Sunday, and I'll tell you this Sunday, me and Dan met and we came up with 15. If we can average 15 more people the month of September than we did the last two Sundays of August, we were going to do something special. And I threw out pies to the face. How many of you like that? Raise your hand. How many of you don't like it? Raise your hand. Tom said that was a waste of a good pie to throw it in Dan's face, so we might have to think of something a little bit better to go along with that, okay? But and I don't want us to take that the wrong way. Church is much more than numbers and things like that, and I don't mean it to come across that way, and I hope that it's not coming across that way. But God is doing a lot of wonderful things in our church. The Spirit of God is moving, our church is growing. And we're having a good time. We're having good services. God is really blessing and everybody that's working for Him. And we just want to be an outreach to a community. God has placed us in this community for a reason. And part of that is to be an outreach. So that's what we definitely want to do, is just outreach to people and invite them out to God's house and things like that. So you all really focus on that the month of September, okay? Also, and it says this in the bulletin, but I just wanted to say it out loud too, we will not be having Sunday evening service September the 3rd. Is that next Sunday? Yes. Okay. To give you time with your family for Labor Day weekend. But I also want to say this. Tom, did you say that's when that revival is?
Yeah, next Sunday night when we go with Grace to the outside.
Okay. So next Sunday night, Grace Fellowship down there, they're having outside services, a revival. And one night, Amy's going to be singing. Is that the Sunday night? Or do we know? Do we know for sure?
She's singing one night.
I don't know what night, but when we find out what night, we will relay that information, okay? I will get my pigeon messenger ready, and it can be flown to you. But when we find out what night Amy's singing, we'll definitely go and support her. And go every other night, too. Listen, I think it's great when churches can get together and just worship God. I can assure you when we get to heaven, you're going to have to wait a second. I can assure you when we get to heaven, I feel comfortable with you now, Tom. I can assure you when we get to heaven, we're not going to have separate churches on each of the streets of gold, all right? Yeah, Tom. Oh, Grace Free Will out behind Mahoney's. I apologize to that church for getting their name wrong this morning, okay? Grace Free Will Baptist Church, all right. So that'll be going on in September that day. I think that's all the announcements I've got. So we'll ask our ushers to come down this morning, and we'll take up... The birthdays will not be next Sunday night, September the 3rd, but they will be the Sunday night after that, September the 10th. We'll do the birthday celebrations that night. You can tell I'm still a rookie, okay? Now, before we bless the offering this morning, if you are here visiting with us this morning, if it is your first time, there are cards there in the pew. And once again, I've messed up. I should have said this 5 minutes ago. But there are cards there in the pew, and you fill that out. So we'll know who you are, and we'll send you a little letter in the mail and things like that. But we're happy to have all of our visitors here with us this morning, okay? Anthony, go ahead and bless the offering. Amen. Thank you, Anthony.
I'm a chicken, y'all, okay? I can talk all day long, but sing, golly, my jittery. But this is a really, listen to the words of the song. First time I heard it, I went, oh, Lord, please let me sing that. Tom, you want to sing with me? Yeah, he don't know it. I let him sing the lead. Okay, so there may be one or two notes that might not just be right, because I'm nervous about one place in it. So I'll just skip it. So just listen to the words, because it's called Hymn of Heaven. And the first time I heard it, it just went to my soul, and I said, I'm going to do it. Get it, guys, before I chicken out.
save me and walk with Him through all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we'll join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith, and with one voice, 1,000 generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever He shall reign. So let it be today. We and the prayer with angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven.
I can assure you, you'll be singing that again sometime, okay? So that won't be your last time singing. What a wonderful song this morning. And how holy is the Lamb of God. He was so holy that while we were yet sinners, we couldn't do one possible thing to get to heaven this morning. Our works wouldn't do it. Our tithing wouldn't do it. How good of a person that we think we are was not going to be able to do it. But the blood of Jesus was so holy, and Jesus Himself was so holy. Worthy was the Lamb that was slain at Calvary. And because He is worthy, if you believe in Him this morning as your personal Lord and Savior, and you have confessed your sins to Him, then praise God, you're worthy this morning. How thankful that we all can be for that. Acts chapter 3, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning. Acts chapter 3, I've got one visitor's card here filled out, but I know we have more than one visitor. This card says Yvonne Shelton. Who's that? That's my great aunt Kat. For years I didn't know her name was Yvonne Shelton. I just called her Kat. But that is my great aunt Kat. Her credit card number is 423-306-4000.
3624. No, that's her phone number. But it's great to have Kat and Janet here with us this morning. And Janet's sitting right there beside Kat, so you give them a great Liberty Fellowship welcome. It's good to have them with us this morning. Again, her real name is Yvonne, but you can call her Kat and she won't be offended, all right? And then Mike and KJ brought some visitors this morning. Mike, do you care to tell us who you brought with you this morning? Okay, that's awesome.
They are, we met them through buying our house. So
okay.
They started off as their realtors and we just adopted them.
Well, that's awesome.
Family.
Yeah.
So they're never getting rid of us.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Well, it's good to have Zach and Rachel here with us this morning. I already told Zach how much I loved his blue pants. And if I'd have known he was going to be here in them blue pants, I'd have wore my pink pants this morning, all right? But I like it, okay? Acts chapter 3, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning. I need your prayers this morning. I'm kind of nervous a little bit about preaching this one, mainly because last week what God gave me really stepped on my toes a lot, and then this one stepped on my toes a lot too. So I need your prayers this morning, and I love preaching God's Word. I love you all. And where that love comes in for you all, sometimes, you know, it's the human nature. You don't want to preach things that's going to step on your friends and your family and people you love toes. But this is one of them that's going to step on a few toes this morning. But I'll say this, it's not me stepping on your toes. It's God's Word this morning, okay? And God does it because He loves us. Every whooping I got from Mom and Dad, they did it because they love me, all right? And every whooping I've got from God, He's did it because He loved me. And He's doing the same thing for you all this morning. All right, Acts chapter 3, if you brought your Bibles with you. Last night was weird at my house. Ellie's 3.5 years old. Addie's a little over 2 years old. And they both spent the night with Nana last night. So last night was the first time in 3.5 years that me and Lay had had at the house without any kids there. And so we celebrated by, she stopped and got a Greg's Pizza on the way home from the baby shower. Hallelujah. Greg's Pizza. When we got home, I turned on the TV, college football was on. I sat in that recliner, covered up in a blanket, ate a whole half of a Greg's Pizza. Then we watched this show on Netflix that we're both addicted to. We watched 2 episodes of that, and then boom, went straight to bed. That was a great night, okay? That was a great, great night. No bath time, no wrestling, no pappy, no heating milk, no crying, no changing diapers at 3 a.m. Like I do any of that. Lene gets up and does all that. But none of that was going on. And I love my kids, don't get me wrong. But it felt good to a blast in the past. The only thing that would have been better if that was Tennessee playing, not Vanderbilt in Hawaii, all right? But this Saturday at 12 o'clock, I can't wait, okay? I knew Tom would shake his head at that. I love it. This is funny. All right. Acts chapter 3. You know, it's been hot the last few weeks. Lacey and Dustin's got a pond down at their property they bought. If you ever drive out Old Stagecoach Road, text Lacey or Dustin, get their address. It's beautiful out there where they're at. It's so hot, that pond is down a lot, ain't it, Dustin? It's amazing how much that pond's down. Okay, Acts chapter 3. I don't know why I said that. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I'm going to ask Jimmy Buckles if you don't care to pray for me this morning. Amen. The thought that God had laid upon my heart and upon my mind this morning is, don't have small expectations for a big God. Don't have small expectations for a big God. And football season's getting ready to start, and if you think about Patrick Mahomes, I believe he's already won 2 Super Bowls and he's not even 28 years old yet. And I can assure you that Patrick Mahomes is not thinking, well, I hope us, the Kansas City Chiefs, I hope we win as many games as we lose this year. I can assure you that's not his expectations. His expectations is to win the Super Bowl. And then I got to thinking about Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux is one of my favorite pitchers of all time. How many of you know who Greg Maddux is? Now, I wasn't a Greg Maddux fan when he pitched for the Braves because I'm not a Braves fan. I'm a Cubs fan. So it wasn't the first time he was in Chicago because I wasn't even born yet. It was the second time that he came back to Chicago, and one of the reasons that I absolutely loved to watch Greg Maddux pitch is because when he had his second stint with the Cubs, he wasn't throwing 92, 93, 94 mile an hour anymore because physically he couldn't do it. He was throwing 80, 85, 86, but the pitches he were throwing, they had so much movement on them that the batter didn't have the hand-eye coordination to make contact with it. But more than that, he was mentally just smarter than all those other batters were. Because again, he couldn't throw it by him, but he had him guessing at what pitch he was going to throw. But the more and more I begin to think about Greg Maddux, you know, his expectations didn't change as he got older. Yeah, he couldn't throw 95, 96, 97 mile an hour. Yeah, he might not be able to throw a fastball right by a batter and then swing and miss it and things like that. But his expectation level didn't change. He still expected to be able to go out and win and just do it at a different level or do it a different way. You could go through all sorts of athletes and people that own these Fortune 500 companies and things like that. And if you look at the ones that are most successful, whether it be a business or whether it be a professional athlete, whether it be somebody that's in band in high school or whether it be somebody that's in drama, it could even be you at your personal job. It could be you as a student in school and things like that. 100% of the time, whatever your expectations are, is the work that you're going to put towards reaching that expectation. Now, we are living in a day and a time today, speaking of expectations, where it would be easy for the church world, it would be easy for the Christian to lower their expectations. It would be easy to say, well, look how far America has turned its back on God. We should have lower expectations for what's going on in people's lives, and we should have lower expectations for what's going on in church because the world has turned its back on God. Look at what all's going on in the world. The church world just needs to have lower expectations. Now, that would be the easy route to take. But bless God this morning, I don't know about you, but I don't want to take the easy route. We don't need to accept lower expectations because of the world that we're living in. We don't need to expect lower expectations from our youth because of the day and the time that we're living in. We don't need to have lower expectations for our younger couples that are bringing children into the world because of the day and the time that we're living in. We don't need to have lower expectations here at Liberty Fellowship Church because of the way that the world is going, because the world may be changing. And the world may be going to hell, or the world is going to hell in a handbasket this morning. But last time I checked, God ain't changed one bit. Jesus Christ is the same today that He was yesterday, and bless God, He will be the same tomorrow. So the point that we're getting at this morning is this. If the world is changing, and the world's perspective of the church is changing, and the world perspective of the church is decreasing, for us as the born-again believers, us that are a part of not only Liberty Fellowship Church, but us that are a part of the church, God's church, the born-again believer this morning, let's not let the devil dampen our expectations for what God can do. Amen. Let's not let the devil dampen our expectations of what God can do in my life, of what God can do in your life, of what God can do in a lost person's life, of what God can do in our church this morning, bless God, because the same God that rose Lazarus from the dead and the same God that rose Jesus from the dead is the same exact God that's going to send His Son Jesus back to get the church, and He's the same exact God that we're serving today, and the same God that raised the dead and made the lame to walk is still the same powerful God today. He ain't lost one inch of superiority. He ain't lost one inch of power. He's still on the throne. He's still mighty. He still controls the sun, the stars, the sea, everything that's going on, bless God. And because God controls all of that, hallelujah, we don't have to lower our expectations this morning. We don't have to lower them. If anything, this should be higher than they've ever been. Why? Because the Bible says in the last days, Jesus will pour out His Spirit. Bless God. I hope my dog gets possessed by the Holy Spirit one night and barks up the whole community, and every lost person on AL Buckles can't sleep because conviction has come through my dog. Now, that's not what that means. Because conviction, I'm just using that as an example. If the devil's turning up the heat, like we said last Sunday, well, I'll tell you right now, God ain't sitting by doing nothing. He's turning up the heat too, except us to do our part. So what do we find here in verse 3? Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple. I want to stop right there. They're going to church. Bless God, I love going to church. If you love going to church, raise your hand. Amen, I love going to church. I love bringing my kids to church. I love going to work. I love my job. My job don't feel like a job. I go in there and have a great time, teach them kids, laugh with them. I don't know if they learn anything, but we laugh, we have a good time. Then I go home. I love coming home. I love Ellie and Addie running up to me, give me a big hug, give me a big kiss. Daddy's home, Daddy's home. I love it. I love getting on the lawnmower at home, even though it wrecks me. I love it. I love going to Lacey and Dustin's for cookout. I love going to Logan and Riley's and things like that. I love life right now. Riley's getting ready to have a baby, bless God. That's awesome. That is so great. Man alive, it's awesome. God is still blessing in the day and the time that we're living in. Are you not thankful that we've got a church that we can come together like Peter and John was going on right here, where we can just enjoy ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ? I love football. I love high school football. I love college football. I love going to games, but I'll tell you something right now. I get just as excited, if not more excited, when I get in the car to drive to church, because I love going to church. I love the fellowship we have with one another. I love the laughing that we have with one another. I also love that when one of us is hurting, we can all come together and pray for each other and pick each other up. Man, I love that. Well, Peter and John's going to church here, so that gets me to the first thing I want to throw out there. I ain't got points or anything. I don't even have an outline. I just got stuff underlined. Go to church. I'm not doing that to browbeat you over the head or anything like that, but I'll tell you right now, when you find a church that God wants you in, when you find a church that you can get involved in, first of all, that church needs to preach and teach the Word of God. That needs to be the number one priority, so let me get that across first. But when you find that church that does that, it ain't going to be perfect. And let me say this, speaking about excuses, I'm just going to tell it like it is. There's people today that have every excuse in the world not to come out to God's house. And if they don't have an excuse, they're going to make up an excuse. Now, that's just the truth. And I don't mean that mean, but that's just the truth. But I tell you right now, bless God, when you can find a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God, and you can come apart, be a part of, and feel like a family, and you can get involved in things like that, your kids can get involved in singing, your family can get involved in singing, and things like that, man, it makes a huge difference in your family's home. It makes a huge difference in your family life. So get in church. I hope it's here. I'm not going to lie. Those that's visiting with us this morning, I hope it's here. I'm greedy. I want every pew full. I want to bust out walls. Yeah, I do. But also, I want you to be at the church that God wants you at. Okay? Just so you know it's here. Just kidding. All right. They went to church. And why were they going to church? At the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they were going to church to pray. Let me say this morning. A lot of important things go on in God's house. Preaching's important. Praising is important. Worshiping God through song is important. Man alive, every bit of that is important. But man alive, do we take for granted just getting to come into church and pray and talk to God? Let's not ever take that for granted. Let's never be so focused on what Dan's going to be preaching about or what Nick's going to be preaching about or who's going to be singing the special song and what that song's going to be. Let's not get so focused. It's good to be focused on that. It's good to look forward to that. It's good to look forward to what the choir is going to sing and things like that. It's good to look forward to what's going to be going on in Sunday school. It's great to look forward to all that stuff. But bless God, let's not get so captivated by all the other stuff that we forget, hey, let's go out to God's house and pray and talk to God. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you something. There's something different about praying and talking to God in God's house. I can pray at home and the devil will distract me and the devil will attack me and the devil will come after me and he'll get me to try to give up on my prayers. But there's something about getting together with God's children where Satan is outnumbered and his demons are outnumbered and everybody is here in one mind and one accord. And you know what? When you begin to pray and talk to God, the distractions ain't as bad because why? You're in God's house. Hallelujah. There's just something special about praying in God's house. So they were going to church to pray at 3 p.m. Let us always pray in God's house. You show me a church that doesn't pray, and you'll show me a church that's not a church. Church needs to be a church needs to be a place of prayer. It needs to be a place of prayer for the lost. It needs to be a place of prayer for the saved. It needs to be a place of prayer for one another. It needs to be a place of prayer for the sick, for the shut-ins, for the ones in the nursing homes, the ones that's hurting, the ones that's depressed, the ones that's upset, the ones that's in a battle. The church needs to be a place of prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank God for it. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. So every day this man was carried. And where was he laid at? He couldn't walk. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple. So they didn't take him in to the temple. They didn't take him into the house of God. They laid him at the gate, which is called Beautiful. Now the reason that this gate was called Beautiful was that was what the locals called this gate. Now it doesn't say this in God's holy word, so I'm not going to quote it as God's holy word. But one of the things I was reading from several historians was that this was one of the most beautiful gates in Jerusalem, and that's why the locals called it the Beautiful Gate. That's not gospel. I'm just telling you what I got from history. So I'm not saying that's why. Okay, so I don't want you to take it as that. All right, but they called the gate Beautiful. So here it was, this man was lame. And they laid him outside of this beautiful gate. He couldn't walk. And when they laid him outside this beautiful gate, everybody that was on their way into the temple for the hour of prayer would walk by this man. And then I got to thinking about that and it hit me like a ton of bricks. This man was physically lame. He physically couldn't walk. But you know what? He wasn't the only lame man right here. This was a physically, spiritually lame church too. Let me get into that, okay? First of all, why did they just carry him to the gate and leave him at the gate? Why didn't they just take him on into God's house? Why leave him laying at the gate? Why not take him into the church? Why not take him into the temple? And we're getting to that a little bit later on. Then I got to thinking about my life personally. How many people in my life, by my personal life that I live, am I just leading them to the gate of the church, but I'm not helping them to actually become a part and get into the church? How many people in my life am I just leaving at the gate? How many people in my life am I leaving just on the outside looking in at God's house and at God's Word and being saved and things like that? And the more and more I begin to think about that, and more I begin to pray and talk to God, I begin to say this: God, help me live a life to where I don't leave people laying lame, spiritually lame at the gate, but I help lead them into God's house. That should be all of our prayer this morning. Let's not leave people on the outside looking in. Be like, well, they live a pretty good life, but I just don't know how convinced I am with the life that they're living. Listen, I hope that when somebody looks at Nick Kalbach's life, they know that he's saved. They know that he's a Christian. There's no doubt that he's saved. There's no doubt that he's a Christian. And I hope it gives them an enthusiasm. I hope it gives them an eagerness to come out to God's house and not just wait outside at the gate. Help us all, bless God, to live a life to where we don't lead people to the gate, but bless God, we lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Getting them to the gate ain't going to be good enough. Listen, they ain't nobody getting to heaven by the skin of their teeth. Everybody's getting to heaven by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Nobody's getting by the skin of their teeth. So let's not leave people at the gate. But let me say this too. If you see that somebody's spiritually laid at the gate and nobody's thought enough of them to carry them in, bless God, spiritually pick them up and carry them into God's house. Hallelujah. Because waiting at the gate ain't going to do anything for them. It was for this man because God had other plans. But bless God, if you see somebody spiritually going through a hard time, pick them up and bring them out to God's house. Hallelujah. Don't leave them laying at the gate. Help me, God, to not leave nobody laying at the gate. Daily he laid at the gate, which is called beautiful. And what was his expectation? The lame man. His expectation was to get money. Nothing wrong with that expectation. He can't work. If he wants to go down to Sonic and get a corn dog, somebody's going to have to give him some money. If he's going to get a baby burger from Burger Hut, that's a Stony Creek restaurant. If you've never been to Stony Creek, you don't know. If he's going to go to Burger Hut and get a hamburger and gravy fries, somebody's going to have to give him some money. He can't work. Gravy fries, woo. Gravy's good on everything. I never thought it'd be good on a French fry. Man alive. I baptize this my potato in the name of the gravy, okay? I love it. The lame man was expecting alms. The lame man was expecting money. Just as the same way with the church. I don't know who the individuals were that carried this lame man and laid him at the gate, but it was the church's expectation that every time they went to church at 3 o'clock to pray that the lame man was going to be at the gate. That's some low expectation, folks. For that lame man just to be expecting money, if whoever it was that was carrying this man to the gate just to leave him there, that was some low expectations. Now, why were their expectations so low? The reason their expectations were so low was that these same people that was going to the church to pray were the same people that were yelling to Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him," when they let Barabbas go. That's why their expectations were so low, because Jesus had already come, Jesus had already died, Jesus had already rose, yet they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But then, bless God, Peter and John show up. They are converts. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they see that lame man, they're not thinking, oh, have pity on him. Oh, how awful it is. No, when they saw that lame man, they saw how big God was. They didn't see a man that was just a cripple and couldn't walk. They didn't see a man that didn't have any money and needed money so that he could survive every single day of their lives. But they saw a man that God could do a great work in. They didn't have small expectations for a big God. Hallelujah. Let's not have small expectations for a big God this morning. They saw an opportunity. I hope in the day and the time that we're living in, us as Liberty Fellowship Church, that we see an opportunity. In the day and the time that we're living in. We are living in the most exciting time of the church age. It's 11:45. Jesus could come back before 11:45's up. That's how exciting that it is. Now, I don't know about you, but if anything, that should give us bigger expectations to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming back to get His church. Hallelujah. But Peter and John had big expectations here. The church didn't. The people that carried this lame man didn't, but Peter and John did. So what did they do? Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So this lame man sees Peter and John. He says, hey, give me some money. No doubt, Peter and John weren't the only people he said that to. No doubt he said that to hundreds. I hope there was hundreds going to pray. Whoo, I'll say this, man, it's cut me deep. Should I say it? Yeah, I'll say it. Okay. You know, you got special services and things like that. People come out, that's great, that's wonderful. I'll tell you something right now. How many people would show up, and this hurt me too. This is not just at you all. But if we just got together and said, all we're going to do tonight is pray, how many people would come? I mean that with love. We got a full house this morning. I hope that if we got together, if God led us to say, hey, we're just going to get together this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and all we're going to do is pray, I hope there's this many people here. I hope there's more than this many people here. Not because it's a number, but bless God, that's how important prayer is. Yeah, amen. We've lost sight, folks. We've lost sight of what's so important. Christmas and Easter, churches all around the world are packed. Homecoming, churches all around the world are packed so they can get food and things like that. Bless God, let's get hundreds of people in God's house to just pray and talk to the Master. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that hurt me. Verse 4, and Peter, fasting his eyes upon him, he looked at this lame man with intent. How many people that were on their way to prayer to this church just looked at him and threw him a dime, threw him a nickel, threw him a dollar? Shoot, that may have been somebody that gave him $500, but there was no intent behind it. Just threw $500 there in his hat. And I'm just giving some, you know, modern examples of this. How many people went by that lame man with no intent? Bless God. Let's live our lives for Jesus with some intent behind it. That's me too. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, and John said, look on us. So John says, hey, lame man, look at us. Catches his attention. And he gave heed unto them. In other words, he's looking at him. He's paying attention to him. Expecting to receive something of them. That's where we got this sermon title from. Let's not expect small things from a big God. Let's not have small expectations for a big God. So this lame man is expecting what he's always got. Money, gold, silver. That's what he's expecting. Whew. Are you not thankful for when God gave you more than you expected? Man alive. I don't know about you, but that puts me on shouting ground. Are you not thankful that God, when God gives you more than you expected? I'm going to say that again because that's good. That's coming from God. Are you not thankful when God gives you more than you expected? Hallelujah. Amen. Bless God for that. So he's expecting some money. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Peter says, I'm broke. Physically, I'm broke. I ain't got no. I couldn't even buy you a 99-cent corn dog at Sonic, brother. I've got no money whatsoever. I've got no gold. I've got no silver. Dollar Menu, Dollar Tree. I can't get you nothing like that, brother. But such as I have, give I thee. But I'll tell you the one thing I got. I can't give you silver. And I can't give you gold. But bless God, I'll give you this. This is something I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter had Jesus that he could give him. John had Jesus that he could give him. Bless God for the spiritually lame this morning, whether it be lame because they're lost or whether it be because they're a Christian and they're just fighting a battle and they're spiritually lame. Bless God, you can give them Jesus this morning. You know, the thing about gold and silver, it ain't going to help you at all spiritually. Make you feel good for a little while physically. But you're going to find out spiritually it ain't going to do nothing for you. I don't care how much money you've got in the bank. That is not going to fix your spiritual problems. I don't care how successful you are at your job. That is not going to fix your spiritual problems. But man alive, Jesus Christ of Nazareth can. But such as I have, give I thee. Can I tell you something this morning? Liberty Fellowship, we can help people financially. We should. We can help people physically. We should. If somebody can't mow their yard, we should show up and mow their yard. We should. If somebody can't come up to God's house and we got to go have cottage prayer meeting, bless God, we should. We should do all of those things. But us as Liberty Fellowship Church, the best thing that we can give anybody this morning is what we've already got, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Rise up and walk. This man ain't never walked before. I don't know how old he is. 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, I don't know. It might be 180, I don't know. Maybe the Bible says, ain't he 40? I don't know. My mind's just saying numbers now. It says somewhere in God's Word how old he is. I think it's in chapter 4 or chapter, you can read on later on and find out. And he took him by the right hand. I don't know if it's Peter or John that reaches down and picks him up by the right hand. But he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now, it's important that we slow this down right here for a second. Because this lame man don't know yet if he's truly been healed. So Peter and John reach down their hand and they start to pull him up. And that got me to thinking about something. And God really opened my eyes in this. If we are spiritually lame, and God's already done everything that He's going to do, and we're still laying in it, that's our fault. That's our fault. It's kind of like this. The man, there was a flood that came. Y'all know this story, but I'm just going to use this as an analogy. There was a flood that came, and a man climbed up to the top of his house. God sent a boat. He wouldn't get on the boat. God sent a plane. He wouldn't get on a plane. God sent a helicopter. God sent all kinds of different things, and he wouldn't get on any of them. So the flood kills the guy. Well, then the guy gets to heaven and God begins to talk to him and said, you know, why didn't you get on the boat? Why didn't you get on the plane? Why didn't you get on the helicopter? The guy says, well, God, I was waiting on you to send help. I was waiting on you to deliver me. And God looked at him and said, I sent the boat and I sent the helicopter. Why didn't you get on? Listen, sometimes we're in spiritually lame situations because we refuse to get up and get out of them. That's the truth. Sometimes we refuse to get up and get out of them. So if you're in a spiritually lame situation this morning and the church has prayed and your friends have prayed and the preacher has prayed and God has done this and God has done that, God has sent a Peter and John by your way and they've told you about Jesus Christ of Nazareth and you're still spiritually lame, I want to ask you a question this morning. Is it because you're still laying in it? Maybe it's time to get up and walk out of it. That hit me hard too. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And as he lifts up, as he's moving up, that's why verse 7 is so important. As he's moving up, what does the Bible say? And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Do you get what we're saying right there? If that man would have never grabbed Peter and John's hand and allowed himself to be pulled up by them, he would have still been laying there lame. It took an act on his part for God to do the rest of the job. Listen, sometimes it takes an act on our part for God to do the rest of the job. That's the truth this morning. But as he was getting up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Well, glory to God. Don't have small expectations for a big God. This man was expecting money. But on this day, something different was going to happen. Listen, you may go through day by day with the same expectations, but one day, God has a day set out there for you, and I don't know what that day is, that there's going to be something come up, and you're going to look at it as big, but bless God, you serve a bigger God than the problems of this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't have small expectations for a big God. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Now look at verse 8. I love this. And he leaping up. He's jumping. He's never even walked before. Now he's jumping. Walked. Never walked before. He's walking. Entered into the temple. All them people that walked by that never carried him in. He walked in on his own 2 feet. Bless God. Why? Because God healed him. Jesus healed him. Don't have small expectations for a big God. Walking and leaping and praising God. They went to church for prayer meeting. And this is just how my mind's visualizing it. I can see people in there praying, and all of a sudden the doors both open. There's this maniac goes running in there, and he's screaming and shouting and having the time of his life. Can I tell you something? I love it when God's house gets a little rowdy. Hallelujah. I love it. Now, that might be old school, and that might be old-fashioned, but I want to tell you something right now. It don't bother me one bit. If God tells you to get in the pew and shoot and holler, not shoot, don't shoot. But if God tells you to shout and holler, bless God, shout and holler. If God tells you to run around the aisles and things like that, bless God, run around in the aisles. There's nothing wrong with that. And the thing is, if God tells you, if the Spirit tells you, let me tell you something. People know if that's for show or not, because the Spirit bears witness. But when God gets a hold of you, bless God, hallelujah, don't hold back. And let me give you another point of this. I can go down to Neyland Stadium and scream my brains out and come to church and do this. That's truth. Shouldn't be that way. I love y'all. And he leaping up and stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He stood out. He previously stood out because he would cripple. But now he was standing out because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, touched him.
Yeah.
Bless God.
Amen.
And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So all these people that walked by for years and years and years and threw money in his hat, they saw him run through the door, jump, shout, hoot, and holler, hallelujah, having the time of his life. And they stood in amazement. Now, let me tell you the only thing that's wrong with that verse. It's great to be amazed at what God does. He amazes me with what he does. But let me tell you what verse 10's missing. If you read the rest of the chapter, you're going to find this too. They should have been jumping, shouting, praising with this lame man. Revival should have broke loose in that temple. But it didn't, because the religious leaders didn't believe in who Jesus was, and people in that church didn't believe who Jesus was. Peter and John did, and now this lame man did, but there were so many people in that church that didn't believe in who Jesus was. Revival didn't break out right here, but I do want to say this. Here's a church this morning. We've got a church full of believers. I'm not going to say everybody here is saved, because I don't know. But we've got a church here full of believers. And if God did this with Peter and John and a lame man in a church that was spiritually lame, if God did this and that, what can God do in a church that's full of believers this morning?
Amen.
Don't have small expectations for a big God. If you've got small expectations in your life this morning, that's exactly where the devil wants you. Maybe it's time to spiritually raise your expectation level.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for us as Liberty Fellowship Church to raise our expectation level. God's moving. God's blessing in our church. Maybe we need to raise our expectation level a little bit. That doesn't mean number. I know we're promoting numbers the month of September. But that means growing spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you this morning, does your expectation level match the God that you serve? I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head. We'll have prayer, then we'll have an invitation. God, I thank you for this day that we've had in God's house. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your sweet presence. And God, I thank you for this message. God, it's worked on me all week. It's humbled me all week. And it's let me know and let me realize, God, that I need to expect more. My expectations are too small for the God that I serve. They need to be bigger. So, God, I'm asking you, God, to help me have big expectations for the big God that I serve. And, God, I pray this morning, God, that if anybody here be saved and they need to raise their expectation levels, God, I pray, God, that they make that decision. God, I pray that if there be anyone here that's lost and don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God, it's your expectation of them that they get saved. And God, I pray that they meet that expectation level this morning. God, now is the time of invitation. I pray that you move and I pray that you lead, guide, direct. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Everybody rise to your feet. If God's spoken to you this morning, come on down. And we'll pray with you.
I appreciate your fine attention. I appreciate your prayers. Don't forget about church at 6 o'clock this evening. Everybody come back out for that. I've got word through Mike and KJ that they are going to have ice cream sundaes at their house as soon as we dismiss this morning, okay? I'm just kidding. They didn't say that, but I just wanted to say... I just want